You're listening to WMRWLP Warren 95.1 FM, and we are here with Mr. Jim Gray, who is the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. So, Mr. Gray, I was wondering, could you just give us a little family background and what made you decide to run for vice president under the Libertarian Party?
Well, certainly. I was raised in the Los Angeles area and then went to UCLA. And then after that, I was in the Peace Corps in Costa Rica for 2 years, came back to USC Law School, was actually being drafted, and went into the Navy JAG Corps, and then was doing that for 4 years. I was actually in the Naval Air Station in Guam, the Naval Air Station in Lemoore. After that, was a federal prosecutor in Los Angeles, prosecuted the standard crimes of bank robbery and frauds against the government, and certainly drug offenses. Then I was in private practice for about 5 years in the Los Angeles area, and then was appointed to the bench by Governor Duke Majan, who served as a trial court judge in the Orange County area for 25 years, and thereafter went into private mediation. So that's the thumbnail sketch. Why did I run for vice president as a libertarian? Honestly, I was a lifelong Republican until the passage of the so-called Patriot Act, when decided as a matter of conscience that I could not be involved with any group that would condone, much less assist, this direct attack on our civil liberties. So I became a libertarian. It took me about 9.5 seconds, as I recall, to determine that I really am a libertarian. Why? Because I really believe that the area of responsibility is just keyly important in our society, and that we also need liberty to be able to act and live your life as an adult as you choose, as long as it doesn't adversely affect other people. And that the federal government, I call it obese, it is really out of control now, it is dominating our lives, and it really should not be, that we should leave things under the 9th and 10th Amendments of the Bill of Rights, to the Constitution. We should leave things more to the states, more to the individuals. And I think that the federal government has usurped a great deal of power. It's much too expensive, it's much too intrusive, it's much too costly, and that we should bring the responsibility back to people and the states.
So what are some of the policies as vice president would you like to see implemented?
Well, it's clear that the most important three issues that we're facing today is the economy, is jobs, and education. And the economy, my goodness, Tim, people don't understand the depth of this problem, but for every dollar the federal government now is spending, we're borrowing 43 cents or printing money.
Right.
No company could possibly sustain that. No household could sustain that. And let me tell you a secret, neither can any government. If you look back in history, you don't have to look hard. The Roman Empire was never conquered from without. They overextended and collapsed from within. Same thing with the Ottoman Empire, same thing with the Soviet Empire. Guess where we are today?
Yep.
So we have, of course, Mr. Paul Ryan, who is running as the Republican candidate for vice president, the supposedly radical budget that actually would not balance the budget for 28 years. I mean, that's just silly. So we will submit a balanced budget to Congress in 2013. Now, we do understand, of course, we can't pass the budget. That's up to Congress. We'll hold their feet to the fire very publicly. But we will submit a balanced budget such that we will reduce our spending by 43%. Now, obviously, that's a big chunk. And equally honestly, I don't expect that to pass as such. But we'll make major progress. And where will we do that? Honestly, we have so many troops put by our executive around the world that are in harm's way. We are having them fight in Somalia, for heaven's sake. Somalia is not a security threat to the United States. We say, bring them home. Yemen, Sudan, Afghanistan. Anything we can accomplish in Afghanistan, we have accomplished. We'll bring our troops home now. And that will be a part of the savings. We also have foreign bases, military bases and reservations around the world. If they're necessary for our security, keep them, reinforce them as far as I'm concerned. But otherwise, if they're not needed for our security, bring them home. I expect that we could close about 80% of those and probably be stronger and spend the money at home, spend the money in Vermont or Georgia or Louisiana instead of in Germany, Japan, and all the wealth around the world. And we've got to stop all this nation-building half a world away when our nation needs the attention to our resources, our bridges, our tunnels, our water systems, et cetera. So that will be a part of the 43% as well. And then, I mean, this is a complicated subject, but we're going to have to conduct an audit of our federal government using generally accepted accounting principles, like all public companies are required to do. Now, the Pentagon resists that, the federal government resists that, but we're going to bring some transparency and see where we really are. Because I tell people that it's my generation that has been so financially irresponsible that's put us in this position. My children are going to have to pay it back, and my grandchildren, when I get some, are bankrupt. And it's just time to address these issues directly. So that's what we will do with regard to the economy. With regard to jobs, my goodness, Jim, we'll listen to all of these ads from Mr. Obama, from Mr. Romney. They don't have a clue. They don't have any ideas at all about how we're going to bring jobs back to our country. Oh, they nibble at the edges and talk a little bit about you get a tax break here, you'll reduce a tax break there, increase or decrease taxes. That's all it, that's the extent of it. We say, no, we need an institutional change. What would that be? We will repeal the income tax. Now, that is not a radical thing to do. It's just going back to our roots. That before 1913, when we passed the 16th Amendment, we did not have income tax in our country. I think Thomas Jefferson and James Madison would be pleased. Now, what's the difference? Well, today our products, be it manufactured or agricultural, before they leave our shores as exports, have paid taxes on them. They've paid the taxes for the company, frequently adding for the employees. They've paid taxes as well, which increases their prices, and then they are competing with other goods around the world that have not paid taxes. That's a competitive disadvantage. Similarly, when we have goods coming into our country as imports to compete with our domestic goods, we again have a competitive disadvantage, and then everybody pays the same sales taxes. If we abolish the income tax, our goods will then be able to compete with other goods around the world. Now, I'm doing a lot of flying around the country now as the Libertarian candidate for vice president, but I was sitting next to an executive from Nike, you know, the shoe manufacturer, not long ago. We discussed this. He got wide-eyed. Literally, his eyes got wide, and he said, Judge Gray, if we were to repeal the income tax, most companies would bring their manufacturing back to the United States of America. And that translates into millions and millions of jobs all across the country. That's what we will do. Now, what are we going to do instead? Because certainly the government needs revenue. This would be a revenue neutral. We would put in a retail consumption tax for goods and services at the retail level. And how high would it be? I don't know. Let's say for purposes of discussion it would be 20%, which is a lot, but it might start then. It would then go down. But first of all, you understand that people who are in jobs today, they get a payroll check. They're not going to have any withholding at all for Social Security, for federal income tax. All of that money would stay in your pockets. You're going to have a lot more money to begin with. And so then you pretty much be able to make those decisions. But there is a problem with the poor, and we understand that as well. It would be regressive in some ways. But Governor Gary Johnson, by the way, the most qualified person to be president of the United States that I know of, I'll talk about him in a minute, but he would have a rebate to all adults in the country every month, for example. Bill Gates on down. And that would mean a credit of, say, $200 a month. So if you spend $1,000 a month, you end up paying no taxes. It comes out even. If you actually pay less than that, you make money on the deal. And then for every dollar you spend over $1,000 a month, yes, there would be a tax of that 20%. But the wealthy, of course, spend more money than the people that have less money, so that would all come out well. That would result in jobs. We can also talk about education, which is also a critically important thing. And that one pretty much can be answered by asking one question. And the question is, who is in a better position to decide where and how your children should be educated? You as the parent or the federal government? And I think, Tim, that that's a pretty easy question to answer. It's obviously the parents. So allow the parents to decide and control where their educational monies are spent. And you can call it a voucher, you can call it a scholarship. I really don't care what you call it. Mm-hmm. If you allow the parents to choose, they will demand excellence. And if my school is not performing and your school is, what's going to happen? The parents, as the customers, are going to take their children out of my school and go into yours. And then what will I do? Well, I'll look around and say, what is Tim doing that I'm not doing? And I will get better. Or I will go out of business, to which I say, good. You know, we will have then someone else come into my school and will perform. We will receive excellence and innovation in our schools once again. It's really an exciting thing. This is what's actually happening in Milwaukee now. It's happening in New Orleans. It's working. I was just in Milwaukee a few days ago. They were saying, you know, pretty much we've been doing this 3 or 4 years. Most of the bad schools are now gone. It's working. So these are at least three things that Governor Gary Johnson, Judge Jim Gray will do for our country, and our country is in need.
So what other cuts besides the military would you say need to happen? Because the budget is definitely out of control, and it's going to take a lot of cutting, which is probably going to upset a lot of people. What are some of the things that should be cut in your mind?
And good for you, a valid question. We will conduct this audit. Honestly, I think that there are several government agencies that simply should not be in existence. And we'll look at that audit and see, just keep an open mind. And actually, I remember what they are as opposed to Governor Perry, but I would probably look seriously at closing the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Commerce, and maybe even the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But let's start with the Department of Education. Again, I don't believe, and we don't believe, and most people don't believe, that the federal government should be involved in education at all. It should be the school districts. It should be the parents, maybe to some degree the states. But we need to have minimum standards, but otherwise allow the parents to choose where and how their children should be educated. And we have thousands of people today manufacturing all these regulations, choking our schools. We'd probably abolish the Department of Education and keep that money. That's part of the 43%. Department of Energy, no, those are really private financial decisions, private industries decisions. Why should the federal government be picking winners and losers in the marketplace? They are now choosing corn for ethanol instead of other products such as hemp, and there are others, I'm told. I was actually on a radio talk show out of Iowa, and a farmer came on and said, well, Judge Gray, I'm going to talk against my own economic self-interest here as I raise corn. But honestly, you get more value of an acre of hemp than you do an acre of corn for ethanol, and the corn will clog your carburetor, and the hemp won't. So we get into a lot of things there, the meddling in the marketplace by the Department of Energy. We could seriously reduce that. That's part of the 43% as well. Department of Commerce, again, you know, these are private industry decisions. Yes, we need regulation, but we need much more streamlined regulations. Pare those things back. I am told when the Department of Agriculture actually began that we had something like one regulator for 2,300 farmers. Now it's about 5 to 1. I mean, it's just crazy what we're doing.
Out of control.
Top heavy in administration. We need regulations, but we need to clearly bring them more streamlined and make them more user-friendly. We could abolish a whole bunch of those workers and cut and reduce our expenses. That's just kind of for openers, Tim, but that's where we would go.
So without the income tax, and basically libertarians, as I understand it, want people to be more responsible for themselves, because a lot of people tend to think that there's going to be handouts or they're looking for something cheap instead of like thinking in the future for themselves. Is that sort of what the Libertarian Party is trying to do with getting rid of the income tax, giving people extra money, and then allowing them to actually think and plan for their future? I mean, basically wanting the electorate to be responsible. Is that fair to say?
I think that's exactly right. Imagine being able to make business decisions for business reasons instead of tax reasons. Imagine making personal decisions for personal reasons instead of tax reasons. If you want to sell your house, why should you worry about, well, my goodness, the capital gains would be higher or lower or all the rest of that? You should be able to do that. It will stir the economy. And we need to have openness in our society and equity and fairness. Nobody will say that they believe that the IRS, that the income tax is used, is workable, is fair, is equitable. It's cumbersome. We are spending, according to the General Accountability Office, somewhere between $260 and $600 billion every year as individuals and companies to keep records for taxes and also prepare our income taxes. All of that money would be saved. Now, by the way, there are about four groups I can think of that would be against the repeal of the income tax. Who? Well, certainly tax accountants, tax attorneys. H&R Block probably does not like this idea. I understand that. I think we can live with it. Second group are the people that work for the IRS. I think we can live with that as well and reduce those expenses. Imagine the bureaucracy, the administrative costs, the fraud that would be overcome by appealing by repealing, the income tax. But the third group of people are huge, very powerful. And who would those be? Those are actually the members of Congress. They actually get lots and lots of political power by voting for tax breaks for their wealthy constituents. They would not want to give it up. But when Governor Gary Johnson and I win this election this November, we will actually have a mandate like you can't believe, and we will have to go over the heads of the members of Congress that are not going to put their selfish interests ahead of the public's interest, and we're going to have their voters take them accountable. So I think we can get over and around that. And the fourth group of people are actually those wealthy constituents, the ones that have mastered the systems, the ones whose lobbyists are getting all of those tax breaks for them. I think General Electric, if you want a good example, but they have mastered the system and their taxes are reduced. And by the way, I'm told that about 60% of the lobbyists in Washington would be out of work if we were to repeal the income tax, because that's what they work for, and I think that would be refreshing as well. So you're absolutely right. We need to understand that we need to simplify our lives without being simplistic. And this would do it. It would put things right on the table. And if you have that retail consumption tax and Congress says, oh, we're going to reduce taxes, we can all see it. And it'll go from 20 cents to 20% to 19 to 18 to 17. Or if they're going to have the audacity to raise taxes, it won't be hidden. We will be able to see it. This transparency is huge, and then people will pay their fair share because they believe other people are as well. And I'm told somewhere around 30% of the business transactions in our country today are below the table. They're hidden. They're not taxed. This would bring those well up into the open because most states already have sales taxes, so all of the machinery for implementation is already in place. It's a really exciting thing. The big thing, though, is millions and millions of jobs. Governor Gary Johnson from New Mexico is the guy. He actually has done this sort of thing before. He's stood up. He's been courageous. He actually left the state of New Mexico after his two terms in office with a budget surplus of $1 billion. So we can talk about it. This man has done it. He is the most qualified person to be president of the United States that I know of. And if people realize they have a third choice, they have a third way, they will flock to Governor Gary Johnson for president this coming November.
So as far as the Patriot Act, is the Libertarians, are they going to do something about it, keep it in place, keep the presidential powers the way they are, or are they going to try to bring it back to the way it was prior 9/11?
Oh, Tim, there are so many ways in which Governor Romney and President Obama are the same, and this is certainly one of them. Romney is in favor of the Patriot Act. So is President Obama. He signed the continuation of the Patriot Act. By the way, so did Mr. Ryan. He voted for it. His voting record is not good. We would repeal it. This is a direct frontal attack on our civil liberties and does not make us safer. The government is continuing to have us live in fear, and it doesn't work, but it makes us more dependent on the government. Same thing with the so-called National Defense Authorization Act, where anybody, citizen or non-citizen, could be labeled by our executive department as a terrorist and then could be detained. Translation, they could be arrested, held without charges, held without trial, and actually rendered to a foreign country, which means they could be deported to a foreign country just because the executive in our world says, yes, they're a terrorist. And then, of course, they could be tortured, etc. That is not what the government of the United States stands for. It's not what the people stand for. We would repeal these things. And we would actually close Guantanamo. It's an open, bleeding wound on the soul of the United States of America. That sounds like an exaggeration, but it is not what we stand for. We would close Guantanamo and give anyone in our custody at this point some charges against them and a trial.
Yeah, no, it is not an exaggeration. And I'm surprised that America allows this to happen. So I guess there's another problem that's been going on in the country for a very long time, basically what is known as the drug wars. Do you feel that they are working in their present state, should be changed, stay the course? How do you feel?
Well, Tim, I think you're aware of my background. I was a former federal prosecutor. I'd call myself a former drug warrior until I saw in my own courtroom us churning low-level drug offenders through the system for no good purpose, ruining people's lives, separating families, putting families on welfare because their breadwinner was in prison, filling up our prisons. We lead the world in the incarceration of our people. by the way, most of them which are of color, even though it's shown by pretty much all the studies that Caucasians like me use drugs just as much as any other group, we're not overrepresented in prison. So what I did, and the sitting judge in 1992, 20 years ago now, it did something very unusual, and I actually held a press conference and said, no, this isn't working. We have to put our heads together and come up with a better way. And that was the first time I ever heard of Governor Gary Johnson. He was the sitting governor of New Mexico, conducted, as he called it, his own audit, and determined the same thing. Our nation's drug war is not working. It's harming our people, very expensive, et cetera. He held a press conference as well and made some major changes in New Mexico. He had no constituency for that. There was no political benefit, in fact, quite a bit of political detriment, but that's the type of person he is. He sees a problem. He has the courage to stand up and talk about it and actually do something. And from then, I just followed Governor Gary Johnson throughout. He is the most qualified person to be president that I know of. And we actually are, as a campaign, we are endorsing those initiatives in Colorado, Washington, Oregon, that would treat marijuana like wine or like alcohol. Why not? It's the largest cash crop in most states. It's fully available, easier for young people to get marijuana than it is alcohol because the illegal dealers don't ask for ID. And let's use that money instead of having it go to fund most juvenile gangs around the country or funding the Mexican drug cartels or other thugs. Let's actually use it and convert it to money to pay for our firefighters, pay for our teachers, fix our highways. When we stop moralizing about this issue and start managing it, and things will get an awful lot better. And I also saw in my own courtroom, in juvenile court, where we were sentencing people for being under the influence of methamphetamines, and they would say, you know, Your Honor, and we knew what the sentence would be. It was a mandatory minimum 90 days in jail, so I couldn't give them any less, and I wasn't going to give them any more. And the numbers of them would tell me, Your Honor, my drug of choice is marijuana. I would smoke marijuana. One fine day, somebody sold me some marijuana laced with methamphetamines. I didn't know it. I smoked it and got myself hooked. And I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute. I mean, we all know smoking tobacco is harmful for your health, but at least when you go to your local mini-mart and buy a pack of Marlboros, you're going to know it's not laced with methamphetamine. Those are problems we really should be able to deal with. So Governor Gary Johnson and I are treating this issue very seriously and would actually repeal so much of the war on drugs, particularly with regard to marijuana, and look around and see where else we could go from there. Because what we're doing today, we pretty much could not do a worse job if we tried.
Very much so. So then as far as cocaine and heroin, do you believe that that should be also regulated? Because that's also a major problem.
They are major problems, and a lot of it is caused because not of the heroin and the cocaine, but because of the drug money. And
right.
That's probably 90% of the problem is drug prohibition related with the drug money, but I'm certainly not minimizing the problems with regard to these drugs themselves.
Right.
But let's start with marijuana. Let's get more information and see. But I would very quickly put in the same program that's been going on now in Switzerland for more than 10 years,
right,
where they actually prescribe heroin with a medical doctor to somebody that's heroin addicted. They can get their heroin at pharmaceutical prices, which is, you know, all of these drugs are dirt cheap. The only reason they're expensive is because they're illegal. And then as long as these people stay away from crime, they're not even arrested, they continue on the program. And they actually are able, they've seen a 50% increase in employment. People are starting to support themselves, supporting their families, paying their taxes off the dole. It's working in Switzerland because people, once they get involved with the medical community, they don't have any AIDS because of dirty needles. They don't overdose. They're living pretty much normal lives. So I would do that in every town or city in our country that has a need for it. It's working wonderfully well in Switzerland. And the only problem I've heard, and we have our listeners, maybe you could ask, well, what possible reason could you come up with that would keep these people going to prison and burglarizing our property and prostituting themselves and everything else to get the money for these drugs? Why not put in this program? And the only answer I've ever gotten that has any sort of viability to it is, oh my goodness, no, it's sending the wrong message to our children. Well, first of all, I'm convinced that Swiss parents love their children fully as much as we do, and no one, Tim, is going to go out and start using heroin so they can make a mess of their lives so they too can be on a program of this kind. I mean, that's just silly.
Right.
So I would put in that program right away. I believe that Governor Gary Johnson would as well.
Okay, so one more question, because you're going to have to go here. Foreign policy, libertarians going to stay the course, or do they have something different to offer the country?
Well, libertarians believe that we should not attack people unless they attack us. I'm the only one of the six of us running for president or vice president that served in the military. And by the way, I'll be the first Peace Corps volunteer to be elected to national office as well, and I'm proud of that. But we have, once again, Romney and Obama together on the issue of using our military around the world to attack people that are not attacking us. They're talking about bombing Iran, going to war with Iran, for heaven's sake. We say, no, unless Iran attacks us or our allies, we're not going to attack them. And with regard to all of those expenses, we will be a lot safer, a lot more secure, if, in fact, we get stop making people mad at us, start intruding in their lives. To the degree that, you know, for example, it's kind of a silly thing to say, but I love New Zealanders. But I tell you, if New Zealand put in an army base about 5 miles away from my house, I think pretty soon I'd stop liking New Zealanders quite so much, because it'd be antagonistic having their army base in my property, in my land. So those are problems that we are getting. And we didn't see anybody in Libya, for example, shouting, I hate Japan, or I hate Russia, or I hate Singapore, burning their flags. No, it's because we put ourselves out there. And if Al-Qaeda is out there, and they certainly are, I think that they're going to be as much of a threat to Turkey or Russia or Germany as they are us. Why are we the ones trying to be the world's policemen? Even on foreign aid, at this point, part of the 43%, Tim, we can't afford foreign aid. And if you really look at it seriously, what that happens is a lot of fairly poor people in the United States paying their taxes in a wealthy country actually send money over in aid to wealthy people in poor countries. A lot of it ends up in Swiss bank accounts, or people start driving Mercedes and the rest of that stuff. It doesn't help us. We can't afford it. We're going to reduce that. But we are not isolationists. We're going to treat people well and as partners. But if anybody attacks us or our allies, I assure you they're going to truly wish they had not. But otherwise, we're going to have a lot safer world and a lot more prosperous America by approaching this way, like Governor Gary Johnson and we libertarians will.
All right. Well, Mr. Gray, do you have any final words to the constituents here of Vermont?
Well, I do. The people in Vermont are independent-minded, and I'm looking forward to sharing some time with you. We will give the United States of America what the people crave and what the Republicans and the Democrats don't have a chance of doing, and that is we will put in a coalition government. Yes, we will, of course, highly placed in our administration, have independents and have libertarians, but we'll also have Republicans and Democrats. Then when we get into this bipolar Congress, this bipolar politics going on in Washington today, we will actually be able to have highly placed Republicans, highly placed Democrats saying, you know, go talk to your colleagues. Get them on board on this. This is a good idea. We will give credit to anybody that has a good idea, that embraces a good idea, instead of what is happening today when the Republicans are absolutely determined that the Democrats will not get credit and vice versa. It's appalling, and the people of the United States of America are fed up, even to the degree that if you look at Romney's campaign now, he's given up all pretense of having any ideas. His whole direction now, I saw it in an email yesterday, is his is a campaign to defeat Barack Obama. You know, not because of who he is or because of what his ideas are, just to defeat Barack Obama. You listen to these hundreds of millions of dollars of ads, both by Obama and Romney. They're not talking about their ideas, because they don't have any. They're not talking about their records. They certainly can't stand on those. All they're saying is, how inept the other side is. And you know something? We agree with both of them. They are inept. You have a valid third choice, a valid third party. And as we say in one of our ads, be libertarian with us. Be libertarian this one time. And after 4 years, if you don't like prosperity, equal opportunity, and freedom, you can always go back to voting for politics as usual. It's really a stark choice. Governor Gary Johnson is the guy. He has done it. It's exciting. And we're going to bring back that prosperity, that equal opportunity and freedom to the United States of America, because right now it's slipping through our grasp under the control of the Republicans and the Democrats. We're going to bring that, and to the degree that we say, help is on the way. So vote Libertarian. You will really be proud that you did that.
Well, that sounds like an extraordinary idea. So essentially, Libertarians are trying to unite the government and have it work together, opposed to good cop, bad cop mentality that we basically live in today. Very
exactly
interesting.
Exactly right. It's exciting. The most exciting thing that's happened to me since the birth of my children.
There you go. You got to take it with gusto. If you're going to do something, do it right or don't do it at all. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Gray. And I hear you're going to Frederick, Maryland today. My old stomping grounds. I hope you have fun there. And I'm sure you'll find people that will they'll listen to you. Okay, well, thank you very much. Good luck on the campaign. And thank you very, very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tim. And we'll be in touch. And good luck to us all.
Okay. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, folks. There you go. An alternative. A different choice. Something that you might like or not. For those of you that don't believe in voting, you may not like the Libertarians. You may not like any party. You may think voting is senseless. But you got to send a message to those boys, because it is a boys' club up there. Mainly white Anglo-Saxon Protestant boys up there. Libertarian Party, it's a third party. It's been around for a long time. Even if you don't totally believe in what they're saying, you might as well just give them a vote. Because if you don't want to vote for Obama and you don't want to vote for Romney, there's always another choice. And there's other parties out there too. But something different has to be done. And if we don't make attempts at changing things, instead of voting in fear or voting for the lesser of two evils, send a message maybe that there are other choices out there, and maybe we will start voting for other choices instead of the one party that we vote for now, the Democrat-Republican Party. It's the same. I know you all want to be different from each other, and you think that your candidate is better, but if you listen to the sort of hate speech that you say about each other, it sort of sounds the same. You say the same things about each other every single time. And it gets a little old for those of us that have sort of given up on the parties and realize that they are the same party and there is no difference and nothing will change and nothing will get better because it's rhetoric. You know, same old, same old. So if you're going to be in fear all your life and be afraid of the evildoers, whoever they might be in your mind, change and hope are out the window and will never happen. All right, so the preceding program represented the opinions of producers and participants and did not represent the views of WMRWLP or its license holder Roots Work.